Amen. Amen. Hope has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. His name is Jesus. Amen. 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 So Merry Christmas. Here we are again. This is awesome. Every year. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, to start today, though, I want to just kind of get a sense of who I'm talking to. And I was just wondering, what you guys put on top of your Christmas tree? What do you put?
A star?
Okay, somebody puts a star.
Angel.
You put an angel. How many angels? All right, so a bunch of angels. How many stars?
Yeah.
All right, okay. How many have two trees and put an angel on one and a star on the other? I think we do that. We have the Trinity of trees. We have the Holy Spirit then on that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's such a great time of year. I'm super excited to take a look at this morning at how Christmas and its implications for our lives may be even more exciting than we imagined.
Right.
Seriously, it's the more I look at what God has done through coming to earth and saving us, the more in awe of him I am. It's incredible. It's not boring. It's so exciting. And hopefully this morning we'll do honor to that. Luke 2, 8 through 14 is a familiar scripture to us at Christmas time. And I'm going to begin reading it here in verse 8. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid.'" It's the first thing an angel always says. "Don't be afraid." "He said, 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a little baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Wow. Okay, everybody stand now. We're going to read this next part together. All right, here we go. Verse 13. "Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" You may be seated. If you didn't pick it up, you were the vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." You know, we could just gloss over phrases like "peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Who's God pleased with? Who do you think God's pleased with? What? Those who trust him. Exactly. Those who trust him for salvation. Those who have bowed down at his feet and said, "Yes, I need you as a savior. I'm a sinner. I receive you. And I base my entire life on that."
Good.
"That you are my savior and Lord." Those are who he's pleased with. It's not that he didn't create everybody and that everybody has a chance to be those whom God's pleased with, but he's pleased with those who respond to him in humility versus resist him in rebellion and pride. And what it says is peace on earth. Now, we can think of no wars, and we can think of things like that. But the word peace, it's referring back to the Hebrew word shalom, but it's the Greek word eirene, and they really mean similar things. The word eirene means to set as one. It means one. It means peace. But referring to the prophetic word today, when it talked about being made whole, the idea of peace or being made one is broken pieces that are made whole again. So it means two things. So our lives broken, made whole, or made as one, instead of a bunch of little pieces, we're made whole. The other thing it means, though, is to be made one with our God. Where there was separation due to sin, peace comes because we're reunited as one. We are one with our God. One with our God. As a result, our lives are one. And that happens to those whom God is pleased with, meaning those who have responded to him. And that was all just bonus. We can so easily gloss over phrases like that, but there's so much depth of meaning and richness in those phrases. The title of my message today is Angels We Have Heard on High. Leading up to this incredible moment that we just read about, where the vast host of the heavenly angel armies are glorifying and praising God in front of the shepherds, or above them, or all around them. Angels have already been busy in this Christmas story. They've already appeared to Zechariah and to Mary and to Joseph to help them understand their role in the story and to reassure them that God was orchestrating all of this and that they didn't need to be afraid about what their role in the story was going to be. Everything was going to be okay. And not only that, they were going to be incredible vessels of obedience to God, bringing him glory and honor as God himself enters the earthly realm. After Jesus' birth, it was an angel that told Joseph to flee to Egypt. It was also an angel that told Joseph and his family when to return from Egypt. So you have to understand that angels are involved in all of this and guiding this. So this morning we're going to take a look at what are angels, what do angels do, and what should this mean to us? You know, it's so easy. First of all, the first thing we're going to talk about is what are angels. I actually think I have some pictures of some angels. Yes, 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 I do. Yeah, yeah. There's two additions there on the, no, we'll go back to that other one if you don't. Okay, the two additions there on the left to the vast host of heavenly angels. The one on the far left is named Raina Joyce. Joyce was my mom's name, so that was like super special. But Raina, her nickname is Ray, so we call her Ray Joyce. Always. And again, I say Ray Joyce. So that's super fun. And then we have Jack Elliott. So he's the newest addition. Jack Elliott Weaver. I just love it. Okay. And then the cousins enjoying each other there. Okay. Next. This is actually next to Christmas and Easter, maybe Thanksgiving. This is the next most important holiday, Grandparents' Day. So just so you didn't know. So anyway, we can move on. Okay. And here, look at this. This is an actual, that's not a picture frame there. That's just out a window. And it was like they were just like angelic. It was like a heavenly scene that I caught this summer as the girl cousins just sit down and catch up. You know, the boy cousins don't do that. The boy cousins like get together and rip up everything. Well, the Greek word for angel is angelos and means messenger from God, one who is sent. I'm actually looking at a bunch of angels out there. Messengers from God that are sent to bring his message of good news into the dark world that we live in. Angels are present in the Bible from beginning to end in supporting roles, helping to bring the will of God to pass. Angels are behind the scenes, kind of like an operating system, helping to move the redemption story along. They are highly concerned in the redemption of us humans. They're really consumed by that. It says they long to look into things like this. I have to admit that over the years, as I've read the scriptures, I would read about angels, but they've always seemed a little out there and hard to understand and comprehend. Well, at the end of today, you know, we're going to fully comprehend them all. No, just teasing. Yeah, nope, I wish. But to discover what angels are, we're going to look at their role in relation to Jesus and to us humans. You know, where do we all fit? How do we interrelate? We are literally all in this together now and forever. To start, we have to understand that angels are spirit beings, and they represent a spiritual heavenly reality that is active and it's busy and it's super involved in what is happening here in our earthly realm. There is an unseen spiritual realm that is extremely real. Possibly, right, the heavenly realm is more real than the material world we live in, because a lot of the material things we're surrounded with are going to burn in the end. But the spiritual reality of our salvation and of our glorified spirit, soul, and body is going to dwell forever. There is a forever. There are certain ways to invest our life into things that last forever. Jesus even asked us to pray that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're supposed to have this heavenly mindset all the time, even in our daily prayers. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as the angels are doing his bidding, being sent out with his message. These are two active realities. They will be reunited. They will be reunited in a Garden of Eden type unity and perfection when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom. Remember, right now, we are in between Advents, the first Advent and then the second one. That's his second return when he's going to come and set everything up. And it's all about right now restoring. We're in this restoration process of restoring that perfect walk with God from the Garden of Eden. And it will have an ultimate manifestation when he returns. In heaven, the angels have two primary roles. One is to glorify and worship God. That's one. And two is to obey God. They are to obey him. And then they are to glorify and worship. We always see angels glorifying and worshiping God. So there is this heavenly realm, but we live in this earthly realm. But we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven realm. Our salvation has made us alive spiritually. And we're now filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We are spiritual beings, but not quite spiritual beings like the angels right now. When we have glorified bodies, we're not going to be like angels. We'll actually be above the angels because we'll be humans that have, anyway, we'll get into it a little bit. We are already citizens of this heavenly kingdom, but not yet fully experiencing it like we will one day. So we're in this already, not yet. But we have to remember the already part. And the already part is that there's these two realities that are taking place right now, a heavenly and an earthly one. To help us understand the role of angels as it relates to Jesus and humans, we will look at excerpts from Hebrews 1 and 2. Hebrews is a letter written to Jewish Christians to exhort them to faithfully persevere. They were being tempted to turn away from their walk with Jesus to old ways, where they would exalt angels and worship angels, and they were exalting Moses and the law, right? And so Hebrews is all about saying that Jesus is better than angels, Jesus is better than Moses, Jesus is better than the law. And so he's superior to these things. Hebrews 1 and 2 focuses on how Jesus is better than angels. But we learn a lot about angels as we look at this. So we're going to just take a look at some excerpts between Hebrews 1 and 2. And it also informs us about who we are too. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. So you can tell right now, this author's tuning into his audience. They knew the prophets. They knew the Old Testament writings and prophets. Verse 2, and now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. We have to understand, we're in the end times right now. They considered it the final days because the Savior had come. The Messiah has come. So now we're in the end times. Just getting ready to wrap it all up when he returns again. God promised everything to the son as an inheritance. So Jesus, the firstborn son, gets everything. It's all going to be his. And through the son, he created the universe. Not only that, he created everything. Verse 3, the son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. That's our God. When he had cleansed us from our sins, it seems crazy to go from what we just said to when he had cleansed us from our sins, this gets very personal, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. That is the place of authority. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels. Just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, "You are my son." So he made a big distinction here. No angel will ever be the son of God. Jesus is the son of God. He is the Elohim in big letters. And then there's little Elohims, but he's the big son of God. "Today I have become your father." God also said, "I will be his father and he will be my son." And when he brought his supreme son into the world, God said, "Let all of God's angels worship him." Okay, so angels are to worship this son. The son never worships angels, but angels worship the son. I think I have a video of these angels actually worshiping the son here. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. It was tough to get that shot, but we had our angelic heavenly cameras going and we caught that. We were very fortunate. Regarding the angels, he says this, "He sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire." That sounds impressive, doesn't it? You know, angels like the winds. We just experienced a bunch of, I was wondering when those winds were coming because I was preparing this message. I go, wow, I wonder if those are like angels going for it. And his servants like flames of fire. But then get this, he says in verse 8, "But to the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever.'" So the Son has the throne, and he is ruling as God. The angels might be winds and flames of fire, but they are purely servants to God. "You rule with a scepter of justice," he says to the Son. So then verse 13, "And God never said to any of the angels, 'Sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet.' Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits who are sent to care for people who will inherit salvation." That's their number one job, is to care for people. Angels are servants sent to care for people who are to inherit salvation. I thank God for that. I thank God that there's more happening in the spiritual realm than we are aware of. Because I need all the help I can get. It says in Hebrews 2:5, it says, "And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world that we are talking about." So it's not the angels that are going to control that, but the Son is going to control that. Jesus is going to control the future world. Verse 9, "What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels." So he became human, right? Flesh and blood. And so he's a little lower than the angels at that point. "And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor in his resurrected, ascended state at the right hand of God. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone." What a just direct way to declare the gospel right there. He tasted death for you. He tasted death for you. He tasted death for me, for all of us. Thank you, Jesus. It says, "God, for whom and through whom everything was made, creator of all things, chose to bring many children to glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation." Because it had to be a perfect sacrifice. He was perfectly fit to bring us into salvation. He was the only one that could do it. "So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy," I'm looking at a bunch of you, "Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father." This is the plot is thickening right now. It's building into this climax, and it says that is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. It was just prophesied that this morning. Ty had no idea what I was talking about, but he talked about we're brothers and sisters of Jesus. And Jesus is not ashamed to call us that. Do you realize who you are? You're the brother, you're the sister of the Almighty Son of God who created all things. That's who you are. Because God's children are human beings, it says in verse 14, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. Guess when he did that? At Christmas. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. The power of the devil is broken. If you feel like you're being hounded by the devil and his demons, that power is broken. And you can claim that this morning in faith and say, by the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, be gone in the name of Jesus. We need to take more authority over these things, these influences, whatever they are, the temptations and all of that, in the name of Jesus, because that's the kind of authority that you have now in an already state. Okay. It does declare, though, that the devil had the power of death, but Jesus broke that. Verse 15, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Guess who fears dying the most? Those that have no hope. That's why we have a responsibility to be God's messengers of the good news, to first live it and then to go give it. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. This is interesting. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Basically, what that means is Jesus didn't come and die for the redemption of angels. Angels don't get redeemed. They either stay obedient or they go to the lake of fire. But he came to help or redeem the sons of Abraham, meaning humans, people. So he's making a distinction here. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us humans, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. And I love how this concludes. Verse 18 says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing. Anybody here going through any suffering right now? Maybe it's physical, maybe it's financial, maybe it's just the oppression of sin. Maybe it's just difficulties, relational difficulties. Anybody experiencing any suffering, any testing? Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested and when we suffer. That's our God. He came as a baby for so many reasons. He came as a human because humans are the ones that needed to be redeemed, and he needed to be a perfect human that lived a perfect life to pay the price for the penalty of sin for all of us. And that's what he did. But he also just on the side in all of this, he also can relate to us. What a wonderful counselor. We can go to him. He can help us. I don't care what the problem is. I do care. I do care what the problem is. I have a lot of problems. We won't get into that this morning, but that would take too long. But I am so grateful for his help. So grateful for his help. I've experienced all the things I mentioned in the list of possible categories, right? Jesus can help you. He can sympathize. Wow, what a God. What a God. What a gift. That is such good news. He became as we are so that we might become as he is. Wow. Currently, as humans, we are a little lower than the angels, if you were wondering. But check this out. 1 Corinthians 6:3 says, "Don't you realize that we will judge angels?" So when we are resurrected and we're in the throne of heaven, we are the brothers and sisters, co-heirs of Christ, and we are ruling and reigning, and actually we get to judge angels, it says. Maybe that's why they treat us so nicely. No, I'm just teasing. Then it goes on to say, so you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. So next time you're in an argument with your spouse, just say, hey, don't you realize that you're going to judge an angel? So quit judging me. No. I don't know if that'll help, so maybe don't try that. Maybe try this, guys. Oh, you are my angel. Oh, something, I don't know. I think I'm going to move on to the next point. I just love what the Bible says. Sometimes it's so funny. Don't you realize you're going to judge angels? So you guys should be able to, like, settle your little disputes down here, right? I mean, wow, what a... we got to take time to chuckle as we get zapped. Okay, number two, what do angels do? What do these guys do all day for eternity? They never get older. You know, Gabriel, he looked the same when he showed up to Daniel as he did when he showed up to Mary. Hey, you haven't aged at all, Daniel. Or Gabriel. Gabriel. What do angels do? Well, we already talked about one of them. One, they take care of us. Hebrews 1:14, therefore angels are only servants, spirits, sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Now, one thing we don't know for sure is this guardian angel thing. So we don't know if they're playing man-to-man or zone defense, but it's one or the other. If guardian angels are real, it's man-to-man, but it could be zone. We don't know. So I'm not going to be able to clarify that for sure, but both are possible. We know one of them for sure. All right. Secondly, they can be assigned authority over the elements. I just read this. I go, wow, Aquaman. It says, Revelation 16:5, it says, and I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, you are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. An angel who had authority over all water. You know, maybe some of these movies are kind of depicting real things, right? Who is it, Moana, or I don't know who. But there's an angel that has. I mean, if you had to have authority over one of the elements, what would you choose? Fire. You want to be, yeah, fiery. Is that? Did you say that, Mia? Yeah. That doesn't surprise me about Mia. So, anyway, but there's an angel that had authority over all water. Probably there's one that had authority over all wind, and he was angry this last week here in Washington State. Anyway, wow. Another thing, angels will gather and usher believers into heaven. They're like heavenly seating ushers. So check this out. It says, and he will, in Matthew 24:31, and he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Angels are going to be dispatched to go grab us all and bring us all together into heaven. Wow. What an image. That's going to happen. Now, that's reality. It's hard to imagine that, but it's going to happen. Crazy. It says, then angels reveal God's plan, and they are not to be worshipped. Revelation 22:8-9 says, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. They get this. He says, I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets. Like, we bros, you know what I mean? I don't think John was thinking, oh, I'm a bro with this, you know, with this angel. But But that's what the angel was saying. We're brothers. I mean, we are fellow servants with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. And the angel says, worship God.
Hallelujah.
Worship God. Worship God. The devil, in contrast, says, worship me. The devil also is happy when we worship me. He loves to be worshipped, but he doesn't mind if we worship ourselves. It's about the same thing. The results are. Then, another thing they do is they protect and they do spiritual warfare. As Jesus was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told the Roman soldiers and the religious leaders this. It says, Matthew 26:53, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? I could do that like that. I'm glad I wasn't Jesus because I would be tempted to do that. And I'm really glad he didn't do that. He realized he could do that, but he submitted to the purposes of God for his life. I don't like suffering, but I'm so glad I have an example like Jesus who suffered well and strengthens me in the midst of my suffering. We're not free from suffering in this life, in this fallen world. We need to suffer well and honor God like Jesus did. And another example of angels involved, well, one, they ministered to Jesus as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. They strengthened him, the scripture says. Another thing they did is the Battle of Jericho is an example of spiritual warfare where the angelic realm partnered with humans to overcome physical strongholds. So the humans had to do their part, but the angels were doing their part, and then the victory was won. So we need to just be concerned about our part. There's another part that God's orchestrating that we don't need to worry about. We just need to trust him, but we need to do our part. Angels also shut the mouths of the lions to protect Daniel in the lion's den. And I believe this week that there were angels that gently laid down a 50-foot chunk of tree to not do damage in this situation. This is a house I own, and so it clipped the corner there, but that was a 50-foot chunk of tree. To the left there, it's about 25 feet or so sticking up, and then the top part was another 50 feet of this tree laying down, and it just tucked right in between the house and then the carport next door, and didn't do serious damage to either one, and I was so grateful. I think the angels are just going, okay, let's get a little work out here. This is our tree lowering squat, something like that. But I was just blessed. Who knows? But I'm grateful for his protection, and I just thank him for that. If I'm standing there, you're standing next to a swaying tree, you're going, there's nothing I can do, But God can. Thank you, Lord. Okay, then another thing, angels rejoice when humans repent. This is one of their favorite things to do. Luke 15:10, it says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's why we all stand up when people come up and declare their salvation, that they've given their life to the Lord.
Yes.
We are rejoicing with the angels, but the heavens light up when salvation happens. And that's how important it is. That is the primary priority in heaven, is to help get us humans saved. Wow. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let as many people as possible get saved, because that's what's going to last forever. And they do so much more. They watch over nations. They watch over cities. They watch over churches. But we can't cover all that today. So point three, what should this mean to us? What should this mean to us? The overall study of angels has highlighted to me that what we see and touch, this physical world in which we live, is only part of reality. There is a spiritual reality that is even more real than the material aspects of this world, because the material aspects will burn, as I mentioned. We live in a very temporal context, surrounded by things that will not last forever.
Right.
And angels symbolize the spiritual aspects of life that will last forever. Remember what the angels said to the shepherds at Christmas. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Now, that doesn't mean that all people are going to get saved, but it is good news that can bring great joy to all people if they respond to the Lord and his invitation to come and worship and give their lives to him. Good news that will bring great joy to all people. That good news is Jesus and what he has done for us. He is our ultimate source of joy, and we know that. He's made it all possible. You know, I know, I've said many times, I know what I deserve, right? And that's not what I'm getting. I'm getting salvation. I deserve hell. I'm getting heaven. I feel like, okay, like I've already won the, like I'm in the bonus round. Like, this is all just like extra. This is extra. I love this. This is the best news ever. It says, for us to be able to share the good news, it must first be good news to us. Is it good news to you this morning? It must be good news to you before you can give that good news to somebody else. Otherwise, it's not going to come across like good news. There's more damage done to Christianity by joyless Christians than almost anything else. It does damage because of this, because it's a misrepresentation. It's a misrepresentation of the reality of what Jesus came to give us. What he came to give us is great, is good news that is will bring great joy to all people. Is it bringing great joy to you? And I'm not talking, again, I know that the introverts and the more non-expressive people go, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You love that stuff. But I, you know, no, it's for everybody. This is good news that will bring great joy and will have an expression. Maybe you can just write great and joy letters. My wife is more of a letter writer. I'm more like, I'll tell you. We have the best news ever. It's a misrepresentation because we do have the best news ever. Is it real to you today? God's son came as a baby. He lived a perfect life. He suffered. He died. He was resurrected. He ascended. He sits in the throne room of heaven. And he sent his Holy Spirit presence to indwell us. And he's waiting for us to join him in that throne room as his brothers and sisters, co-heirs with him in the heavenly kingdom. Wow. That's what's going on here at Christmas. It was prophesied this morning about co-heirs. I go, you know, Ty had no idea about me. He probably had co-heirs and that we're going to be brothers and sisters. I'm going, wow, the Holy Spirit, you know, what happens in our lives is so much bigger than us, right? He's just putting it all together. We have the privilege of being a part of what he's doing. Thank you, Jesus. And what I just described is more than just having our sins forgiven and feeling better because a weight is lifted. That's a good thing. But we're talking about ruling and reigning as brothers and sisters with Jesus forever. Now, that's an incredible thing. Angels in the Christmas story remind us of our ultimate destiny, the throne room of heaven. Now, that is good news because it's all made possible by Jesus coming at Christmas. And what he says to us all is, Merry Christmas. I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So, and I pray you all have a wonderful time celebrating him and celebrating this and understanding who we are and the priority that we are to him and the angels. God bless you all. Merry Christmas.